Thanks. So just for some background, the Human Rights Center is an interdisciplinary research institute that's based at the UC Berkeley School of Law. And through our sexual violence program, we conduct research to improve access to justice and access to support services for survivors of sexual violence, focusing on areas affected by conflict. So today I'm going to share some findings from a recent study that we conducted looking at the process of accountability for sexual violence in conflict and post-conflict settings. Over the past decade or so, there's been really increased attention and commitments at an international level and also by national governments to promote accountability for sexual violence. We've seen in several countries in Africa the development of specific laws to address sexual offenses and a number of institutional reforms like specialized prosecution units and police units to more effectively handle these cases. But we know that still very few cases actually make it to and through the justice system. And so we recently completed a qualitative multi-country study of accountability for sexual violence in four post-conflict states in Africa. We looked at Kenya, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Uganda. And the objectives of our study were to identify the main challenges and also any promising strategies for improving accountability for sexual violence. And so this is the kind of conceptual framework that we developed for how we think about the accountability process. We broke it into three stages: reporting, investigation, and prosecution. And this really guided the structure of our research. So each stage involves multiple steps and multiple sectors. And so we looked at challenges arising in responses by the police, the health sector, prosecution units, and the courts. But today I'll just be focusing on the role of the health sector in this process and on the main challenges in the collection of medical legal evidence. I'll go back a slide. The health sector plays a critical role in all three of these stages. So the health facilities are often the first place where a survivor will report sexual violence, and so providers play an important role in making referrals to the police for those who want to file a claim. In the investigation stage, as part of providing post-rape care, healthcare providers are also responsible for conducting the forensic medical examination, documenting their findings in official forms, collecting physical evidence from a survivor's body, and then also coordinating with the police for the transfer of that evidence. And then finally, in the prosecution stage, healthcare providers might be called upon to testify in court based on the results of the forensic exam. So increasingly, we're seeing healthcare providers are really being asked to play a dual role in response to sexual violence, first in terms of providing clinical therapeutic care, but then also in evidence collection to support the justice process. And I think this is really kind of asking a lot of healthcare providers, as we know that in resource-constrained settings, they're often overburdened and really short-staffed. But then we also know that medical legal evidence is critical in these cases. In all four countries that we looked at, we heard that evidence from the health sector is the most important, and it's often the only form of evidence in a sexual violence case. And so survivors really rely on this information from the health sector. I'm going to try to just be really brief about the methods. There's a series of maps here, but I won't go through all the research sites. But we basically conducted research in capital cities and then also selected some more rural towns and cities in each country, just to get an understanding of the range of barriers to accountability in different settings. So this is Kenya, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Uganda. And so we conducted first desk research on the nature of sexual violence and the accountability mechanisms in each country. And then between 2012 and 2014, we conducted a total of 279 semi-structured interviews with key informants across the four countries. And our sampling was purposive. We really tried to include both policymakers and practitioners. And this ended up being like police officers, prosecutors, judges, healthcare providers, forensic analysts, and members of civil society. So for the main challenges to the collection and utilization of medical legal evidence, we identified four main areas. So first was with late reporting. So most key informants were just really talking a lot about how difficult it is to get survivors to the door of health facilities on time. So most survivors, or a lot of them actually, report days or weeks after an incident, after their injuries have healed and the physical evidence has been washed away. And our research identified a number of social and structural barriers that inhibit or delay reporting. In terms of the social barriers, there's stigma associated with sexual violence, fear of perpetrators, a lack of awareness of legal rights, of services, and of the importance of seeking care within 72 hours after an incident. And then also the social and the economic pressure to settle cases informally outside of the formal legal system, and to really keep information about cases within the community. And then the structural barriers were things like long distances to health facilities, especially in rural areas, and also the cost of transportation and the cost, actual or the perceived cost of medical care. So the second challenge was capacity constraints. We found that health facilities often lack the supplies and the resources for collecting and storing evidence. And also that there are really just very few healthcare providers that are trained to conduct a forensic medical exam and to complete the forensic medical report, especially when you get outside of the main referral hospitals. And the medical report is really especially important. This is sometimes it's a police or a health form that is completed by an authorized medical provider and documents the findings of the forensic exam. And in all four countries, we heard that this is definitely the most important piece of evidence that's used in court. And so one challenge with this was that there was just general confusion among the practitioners we talked to and healthcare providers themselves around who is authorized to complete the form. You know, what level of provider can legally do so. In places like Kenya and Uganda, where this role had been expanded beyond medical doctors to include nurses or clinical officers or midwives, these policy changes weren't yet understood on the ground, and so practice really hadn't changed. There were also issues with quality. Sometimes providers don't fill out the forms completely or in enough detail so that they're useful by police officers or by prosecutors and judges. And then apart from capacity issues, another challenge worth noting, I think, is the access challenges. Sometimes these forms aren't available at police stations. Sometimes we learn that providers or survivors would go to a police station and be asked to pay for photocopies, even though by law the forms are supposed to be free. And the third challenge was with provider reluctance. We learned generally healthcare providers are hesitant to complete the medical form and testify in court, either because they don't feel it's part of their role. They just simply don't have time to deal with a six-page form when they have a busy waiting room full of patients, or they don't feel supported or prepared to testify in court, and they really view that as an intimidating process. And then the final challenge was limited coordination and communication between police and health staff. That really creates delays in the transfer of evidence. So it was reported that police are just rarely picking up samples from health facilities, either because they don't have the transportation or they aren't available when they're called, and also that health facilities lack storage space for these samples. And so in many cases, they had just stopped collecting evidence for those reasons. And healthcare providers and Police also lack clear training and guidance around how to effectively collect and store and transfer evidence between sectors. So we made a number of recommendations. Oh, wow. There we go. To ministries of health and civil society organizations addressing sexual violence. The first was that our findings suggest really a need for interventions that will facilitate reporting and immediate access to health services. So, for example, things like free 24-hour hotlines that provide immediate counseling but then also arrange transportation to the hospital. Those were noted as particularly important. Also, first responder teams, these community-based volunteers that are trained to receive reports and then accompany survivors to the hospital. We also recommend greater resource allocation within Ministry of Health budgets to address sexual violence in general. Most sexual violence activities and services through the Ministry of Health are still donor funded primarily, and so this has really created sustainability challenges and gaps in coverage of services. We recommend more training for healthcare providers in medical legal evidence collection. That includes how to conduct the exam and fill out the forms. And this should really be part of the regular curriculum in health training institutions and part of in-service training. In Kenya, for example, they're really focusing on the level of level 3 health centers and training providers there to try to expand access to post-rape care beyond hospitals. We also recommend addressing barriers to healthcare providers' participation in the trial process. So this includes the training to help providers understand the court process and prepare them to testify, but then also institutional changes, things like providing for transportation costs to and from court and allowing them the necessary time off to be able to go to court. And then finally, we recommend multi-sectoral dialogue, more meetings that bring together police officers, prosecutors, and healthcare providers to discuss the management of medical legal evidence and develop protocols for better working together. And we saw some of these local multi-sectoral working groups during our field work. And in addition to this, some of them were reviewing cases on a monthly or quarterly basis and identifying the main challenges and ways to improve the quality of evidence. I just wanted to just briefly mention one of the ways that we've tried to make sure that our research has impact and is somewhat useful to practitioners on the ground. We try to build a component like this into all of our research, a dissemination impact strategy. So just this past August, in collaboration with a Ugandan NGO, we hosted a 3-day workshop with practitioners from the case study countries. So Kenya, Liberia, Sierra Leone and Uganda, and then also from South Sudan and Eastern DRC. So we had over 80 participants, and these were police chiefs, heads of prosecution units, nurses and doctors, representatives from the Ministry of Health and forensic analysts and civil society. And the goals were to share our research findings directly back with local stakeholders, many of whom had participated in the research, and then to just really provide a space for practitioners to brainstorm around some of these challenges with members of the other sectors in the room, and also to share their strategies and their experiences with their counterparts in other countries. And I think we were able to have just really practical discussions. There was a lot of exchange of things like training manuals and forms and guidelines, and there's actually been a lot of demand to keep this network and this dialogue going as kind of a community of practice going forward to support each other in their work. So we just last week created this listserv and a Facebook group, and there's already been a lot of exchange of resources and ideas. So I think I'll stop there. This is just my contact information. If you have any questions about the study or our work, then feel free to be in touch. Thanks.